as the follower of Jesus stands fast, perseveres, the Lord will establish the believer's heart, blameless in love and holiness.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
In the early days of World War II, Winston Churchill and the British people, well, the world, were facing a great crisis, a great challenge from Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. And he knew the people were discouraged. Things didn't look good in those early days of the war. Hitler seemed unstoppable, but Churchill rallied the people, and in one particular speech, he said something then that became quite well known, has been quoted here many times, in which he was telling them to never give in. Never, 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 never give in. He was calling for them to stand firm, to stand fast, to not quit, to not walk away feeling defeated and discouraged, but to keep going, to keep fighting, to never give in, never, 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 never. I think he made his point pretty clearly, didn't you? See, because they were engaged in a great battle for the life of their nation, very Western civilization itself. So he told them, never, 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 never give in. Well, I would suggest to you that you and I, we're engaged in an even greater battle than this one. And that is the ongoing struggle between God and Satan, between good and evil. Now, we know how this one's going to turn out, don't we? Churchill didn't know how that war was going to end up. Well, we know how this war is going to end up. But nevertheless, then what? We are also called, what? To never, 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 and I'll throw in another one, never give in, never quit, never give up, to stand fast, to persevere in faith. Now, we all face discouragements. Has anybody ever been discouraged? You know, it's part of life, isn't it? We all face discouragement at times. Anybody ever been defeated? Anybody ever lost a battle or two? But we should never, ever give up, never quit, but stand fast in the Lord. So we are continuing in our series then in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, looking at this hope that we have, hope in trying times. And the encouragement then today for us to stand fast, to persevere, to never quit, to never give up, to stand fast in the Lord. Looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. And there where we will see that as the follower of Jesus stands fast, the Lord will establish the believer's heart blameless in holiness. So before we look at our passage in 1 Thessalonians 3, a little context here. We see here that Paul is speaking to these believers in the church of Thessalonica, that he and they had been through much conflict and affliction. That Paul, before he had even gone to the church at Thessalonica, before there was a church at Thessalonica, he was in the city of Philippi, where he met with much opposition. And he left Philippi, went to Thessalonica, helped to establish the church in Thessalonica. And of course, there was opposition from both Greek and Jew, from their surrounding pagan Gentile neighbors, but then also opposition from the Jews, where Paul was his custom. He would go into the synagogue and preach there. And so there was opposition to this gospel message that he was preaching there, because among those who believed were Jews converted to belief in Christ as their Messiah. So much opposition then, and it seemed to follow him wherever he went, didn't it? Well, as Paul had to leave there for a time at the urging of some of the believers in the church in Thessalonica. Meanwhile, then, some false teachers had arisen. There were some accusations against him and the others, Silvanus, also known as Silas, and Timothy, saying that they had bad motives, that they were teaching false things, false doctrines. And so Paul is concerned about them. He is eager for them, eager to hear about them. Now, one of the good things about their day is they didn't have social media. Oh, did I just say that out loud? Oops. All right. Now, I'm not going to go off on a social media rant. I think it has a good purpose, right? I know that. I get that. But boy, there can sure be a lot of terrible things that come along with it, though, too, can't there? And so they didn't have the instant connections that we have today. So he's wondering, what's going on there? How are they doing? Are they standing fast in the truth? In the face of all this opposition, in the face of these false teachers in their midst as well, were they standing fast, holding on to the truth? So he was greatly concerned for them. So he sent Timothy to them. Timothy was able to go and to visit them. And Timothy came back then. Timothy was long-term Facebook updates here, I guess. You might think of it that way. So he comes back with the report for how they're doing, what's going on. And Paul is greatly relieved to hear that there was good news, that he brought a good report. And so now then, but that doesn't mean that there weren't some concerns, though, too. So Paul is writing to them to encourage them, to set straight some things they weren't so clear about the second coming of Christ, and to express joy that they were standing fast in the Lord, encourage them to continue. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Paul says here, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." So I want us to notice a couple of things there. First off is the joy and thanksgiving that he had for standing fast, but also prayer then, this prayer for fellowship and for love. So joy and thanksgiving for standing fast. Paul had received this good news from Timothy. What was the good news? It was that they had not been overcome by the opposition there. Granted, there were these false teachers that had come in amongst them that were threatening to lead them astray or discourage them and telling them these false things about Paul and the others. But they were standing fast in the face of that opposition, and they were rejecting these lies about Paul and the others. Standing fast in the Lord. Standing fast in the gospel. By the way, again here, we see this theme often in the New Testament epistles, where Paul, he does not like to have to talk much about himself and defend himself, defend his reputation, but he must do so. Why? Because in defending himself, defending his reputation, who is he really defending, and what is he really defending? He's defending the truth of the gospel, and he is defending the ministry, the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. And so that's why he finds himself constantly saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I know what they're saying about me, but it's not because his ego is wounded. It's because he wants to defend the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to defend the truth because therein lies our hope, right? So he receives this good news of your faith and love. The good news of their faith, what, that they were standing fast, and not just in right doctrine, but in trust, in trusting in the Lord, their faith. There is our faith that is doctrinal belief, and then there is our faith, which is trust in God in those truths that our doctrine represents, right? And they were standing fast in truth and in the Lord who is truth. But also they were standing fast in their faith and love. Their love. Their love for God, their love for one another, their love for Paul and other believers elsewhere. Standing fast in faith and love. You know, their Christian faith is not just a set of doctrines, is it? Now, there are doctrines that are crucial for us to know and to understand, to hold fast to defend in the public square, to set the record straight when things are taught that are false, at odds with biblical teaching. But our faith is more than just doctrine, isn't it? Our faith is also our lives, our love, holding fast to the faith, the doctrine, but also holding fast in love. Love for God, love for one another. And so he heard good news that their faith and love were intact, that they still remembered him, Paul, and the others kindly, that they were eager to see them again, just as Paul and the others were eager to see the believers there. And so for this reason then, in all of this distress and affliction, by the way, do you think you can be a joyful Christian but still experience distress and affliction? Absolutely, yeah. Having the joy of the Lord doesn't mean the absence of difficulty, of distress or affliction, does it? I mean, it means the joy of the Lord is his peace in the midst of the distress and the affliction, right? And so they were comforted then in this distress and affliction, wondering what was going on there, as well as the affliction they were facing as well there. So they were comforted about them through this report of their faith and their love. But then he says something that's very important for us to understand then too about our faith. It says in verse 8, "For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord." That's all about, well, the big fancy theological term for it is perseverance. Standing fast in the Lord. Persevering, holding on. Or as someone else said at another time in another context, never, 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 never give in. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on fighting through. And that's what we're called to do in our faith, is to never, 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 never give up. Keep holding on. Keep holding fast. Keep pushing through. Keep on fighting through. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Now, I know that this question can raise a lot of theological questions and debates about the nature of faith and saving faith and holding on to that faith. Can someone who is truly saved lose their salvation? Well, my conviction is no, that a person who is truly saved cannot lose that salvation. But the other side of that coin, though, is because what? Because God holds the believer fast and firm in his hand. It's been said it's like two sides of a coin, right? That on the one side is God holding the believer firmly, but on the other side is what? Is the believer's responsibility to stand fast and to persevere. And so I think that genuine believers will be held fast by the Lord, but are also called to stand fast, even as they are being held fast by the Lord. Because I believe that true saving faith results in fruit, and one of the fruits of that is perseverance, standing fast. You know, Jesus told a parable of the soils, you remember that? Where the farmer went out to plant seed, and as he passed on, some of it fell on a hard path, some of it fell in rocky soil, some in thorny soil, and some of it in good soil. And of course, that seed that this farmer was throwing or sowing was representative of what? The gospel, the news. Farmer, as this is spread, the message of the gospel goes out all these places, and these soils then are representative of the condition of the human heart, and that human beings respond differently to that sowing of the gospel message. For some, their hearts are like the hard path; the seed just bounces right off; it has no effect. And we've all seen that, haven't we? But then for some, that gospel seed then it lands in the shallow, the rocky soil there where it appears like there is a result. It initially pops up, but because it doesn't have any depth, what happens is it dies out then. And sometimes we see that in people then too, right? Where it looks like the gospel message has taken root, we see some evidence of it, and then it just kind of is gone then. And then for others then, that thorny soil where the gospel seed is put out there, it springs up, you see a little more growth there, but then eventually, what, the weeds overtake it. And Jesus describes that as what is the worries and the cares of this world and riches and things like this that choke out that life. And then it's dead, it's gone. But then the other soil, the last kind of soil, is the good soil. And that's the heart that receives that gospel and truly believes. And it produces a harvest, a fruit within it. And you notice there's different levels of fruitfulness that it speaks of there too. But nevertheless, there is a harvest. Now, God is the judge of that harvest, isn't he? Not me, not you, not any of us. God alone truly knows hearts. But there will be a harvest. True faith will result in a harvest. There is perseverance there. So true faith stands fast. By the way, do you think one can stand fast in the faith but still have seasons of doubt or difficult and things? Absolutely, because I want you to know, if you're sitting here and think, well, I don't know, but I've really struggled with my faith sometimes. Well, I have too. Has anybody else? Let's go on the record here. Who has struggled with your faith at one time or another? Okay, I see just about every hand. I think maybe every hand up went up here. That's a part of life, isn't it? And that's something sometimes that's how we grow in our faith, is through that struggle, through those doubt. Is not a bad thing. Doubt is a human thing. But what is bad is when we just give ourselves over to that doubt, allow ourselves to be consumed by it. Doubt is something that God has used in my life to strengthen my faith. So persevering faith Standing fast in the Lord doesn't mean you don't have doubts, that you don't struggle with that sometimes. Might I even dare say, and I won't ask for any hands up on this one, okay? We all might feel, okay, I can admit that, yes, I have struggled with doubt at some time or another. But how about this one? I won't ask for the show of hands. How many have had seasons of rebellion and disobedience? I'll raise my hand on that one. So standing fast in the Lord doesn't mean the absence of doubt. It doesn't even mean that there might not be seasons of rebellion. Maybe you were angry about something. I'm just speaking of a theoretical person, not myself, you know. Maybe you were angry about something. But ultimately, though, true faith stands fast. So understand, please, that when we talk about standing fast in the Lord, that doesn't mean, well, I've had doubts, or I've had times in my life when I turned away for a while. First of all, I don't want to encourage you to turn away from God ever, all right? And I certainly don't want to encourage you to allow yourself to be consumed by doubt. We can't. But understand that that's a normal part of the faith journey for many of us. But we must stand fast. See, there's the other side. God, one side of the coin is God holding us firmly by His mighty power. The other side is we stand fast. So He is thankful that they were standing fast in their faith. We too are called to stand fast in our faith. But then He prays for them. He prays for fellowship, for love, and for holiness. He's saying He's praying earnestly for them. He wanted to see them again in order that He might further instruct them. He still had much to say, much to teach. They had much to learn. All of us still have much to learn, much to know, don't we? So He wanted to come to them, to teach them, to instruct them again. So He was praying then for them earnestly that He would have that opportunity to come to them again, to instruct them further. So He is praying for that fellowship, that they might have that fellowship with one another. But then He also prayed for love. It says, we pray, verse 10, most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, verse 11, now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. Our faith, again, is not just a set of doctrines to believe. Our faith is a vital living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that expresses itself in fruitful attitudes and behaviors. And one of the great fruits of the Spirit is love. Love for one another, love for God, love for one another, our fellow believers. It says, may you increase and abound in love. Do you need to grow in love? I do. I think I've grown in love, but man, I think I've got a long ways to go, though, too. So He's praying they might increase and abound in love for one another. You know, the standard that Jesus calls, what is the standard of love that Jesus has for you and me as followers of Jesus? How are we to love one another? What's the standard of love that Jesus gave us? As what? He said what? As I have loved you, Jesus said, so you are to love one another. Remember the night before He was crucified, He said, a new commandment I give you. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. You might say, oh, wait a minute, there's nothing new about the command to love. We've been commanded to love. That goes back long before Jesus ever said that. Well, that's true. We were called to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what was new when Jesus said a new commandment? It's, he said, as I have loved you. Man, this is a whole new standard of love, right? How did Jesus love his disciples? Ultimately, supremely, unconditionally, sacrificially, giving his life on the cross. There's no greater love than that, is there? And so Jesus says, that's the standard of love for you and me as followers of his. I don't measure up to that one. I don't think any of us do. But that's the kind of love. Aren't you glad, again, that Jesus didn't say, you know what, just try your best? No, he says, love as I have loved you, knowing that we're going to fail. But what, we keep growing into that standard of love. That you may increase and abound in your love for one another and for all, as we do for you. And then what? So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Establish your hearts blameless in holiness. Now here's one of these teachings in Scripture. We said before that Scripture, there's a principle of the now and not yet. There are things that are true of us in some sense right now, but in another sense are not yet true of us in the way they will be. That sounds a little confusing. What do you mean? Well, for example, this holiness. Did you know that right now you are perfectly holy and right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, right now you are perfectly holy and just and righteous before God. That is what? That's right now. That is your standing through your union with Christ by faith. That's how God sees you. United with his Son, who is perfect and holy and just and righteous right now. You are holy right now. Because that's a gift that he has given to you. You have that holiness as a gift. But not yet, because we are not yet holy, practically speaking, in the way we will be one day, right? So we have a perfect holy standing before him now. But one day, we will be holy in every way, in our practical every moment life experience. And when is that going to come? The day of the Lord, when he comes again, right? Again, that's a major theme in Thessalonians, is the coming of the Lord Jesus, the day of the Lord. When this, what's going to happen when that comes? So we are not yet what we will be. Where does this holiness come from? How do we become more holy in our everyday practical living? By trying real hard? No, we are to exert effort. But it's not trying real hard to be a little better today than we were yesterday. Just keep, you know, getting that courage within you and your own strength to just behave yourself and be better. No, it's through yieldedness or submission to the Holy Spirit who produces the fruit of holiness in us. Stand fast. And through their standing fast, Paul prayed that they might abound and increase in love and holiness. Well, that message wasn't just for the Thessalonians a couple of thousand years ago. It's for us here today. So what? I would say that as the follower of Jesus stands fast, perseveres, the Lord will establish the believer's heart blameless in holiness, blameless in love and holiness. So my simple question then for us, are you standing fast in the Lord? Never, 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 never give in. Never give up. Keep standing fast because God is holding on to you. Don't let doubt permanently derail you. Let it be an instrument God uses actually to strengthen your faith. Well, how can you do that? Well, by seeking out people or resources to encourage you, to pray with you, things to read, to study, to consider. Don't let doubt derail your faith, and don't believe for a minute that doubt is somehow abnormal or not a part of faith, because it is part of the faith, the life of faith. And also, if you're in a little season of rebellion, maybe, don't stay there. Know that God is a God of grace, a God of mercy, and a God of patience. Now, he's not infinitely patient, though, but he is merciful and gracious. So give thanks for that. And let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that you hold us firm with your mighty power and your mighty hand. But yet, though, Lord, you call us, though, to stand firm, not to give up, not to quit, not to give in. But we know we stand fast, though, Lord, not through our own self-efforts, but by your mighty power, by the Spirit who indwells us. And so, God, I pray then that we would stand fast, and that as we stand fast, we would see, Lord, the increase of love and holiness in our lives. May we stand fast for the glory of the name of the Lord Jesus. To the one who's struggling with doubt, would you encourage that one? Bring a person or a resource into their life to show them that doubt is not the end of faith. Doubt is a tool to strengthen faith. For the one who's in a season of rebellion, Lord, would you convict their heart to repent, to turn away from that, and to find your grace and your mercy. In these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.